Hello there. Welcome back to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Swanik Jaikumar. For those of you listening for the first time, I started Pathfinder 101 with the intention of examining various professions beyond the basics by interacting with experienced professionals from various careers. This blog and podcast are from a high schooler's point of view. I hope you benefit from some of the information provided in the various blog posts and interviews. There are many, many things one can do with an art degree. Some choose to become lawyers, others choose to study art or become artists themselves. One lesser known, but fascinating profession nonetheless, is that of a museum curator. But what exactly does a museum curator do? And how does one become a curator? Today's interview will be with Mr. Jed Morse, Chief Curator at the National Sculpture Center. He has previously worked at the Dallas Museum of Art as a curatorial assistant. We will be discussing why he chose to pursue art as a career and his journey to becoming a curator. Hi, Mr. Morse.
Hi.
Let's jump right into the questions. What did you want to become when you were a high school student, and what made you to consider that particular career, such as like parents or mentors?
You froze there for a second, but I think I got that most. When I was in high school, I wanted to play professional basketball. It's probably not. I'm only 5'2". My jump shot's not that, you know. Other than that, I really had no idea what to do. When I went to college, I didn't specifically wanted to. I mean, I knew I was interested in a lot of different subjects. Wanted to explore things academically as an undergraduate. Also knew that I wanted an environment, a smaller environment like St. Mark's. You know, you could develop relationships with professors and each other. And it was more of a kind of a tight-knit community rather than, you know, leaving St. Mark's and wanting something much bigger, which a lot. So I looked at, you know, mostly small liberal arts program East and Middlebury. Again, kind of in the sense of what I wanted to do other than probably study abroad at some point. I did know that I wanted to take an art history class because I never got to take, Tom Adams taught in the class at St. Mark, but it never worked for my schedule. And I remember we got a little taste of it. Oh, I can't remember what it was. It was either ninth grade early European history. I think that was probably it. One of our textbooks was called Art and Ideas. And that was pretty interesting. And also, you know, my sister had graduated from Hakone. She's and really, really loved the history of art and music course. And it bothered me that she knew things that I, and so I knew I was going to sign up for Art History 101 when I got to college, but I didn't imagine that it would become a major, much less a career. It just kind of happened organically. Took one class, really liked it, signed up for Art History 102 the next semester. Eventually realized that that art history had the most classes I was interested in taking and the most professors with whom I was interested in taking courses. And my parents, you know, very graciously encouraged me to pursue that. I think they understood the value of a liberal arts education, that being broadly applicable. Whatever anyone was pursue later in life, you have to learn how to think, how to analyze, how to communicate. And that can be pretty broadly applied to any body of information. You know, they gave me the advice that, look, if I wanted to be an attorney, I was going to have to go to law school. I was going to get involved in business. I'd probably have to get an MBA. If I decided I wanted to be a doctor, it would probably be a good idea to take a more math and science than I would, but you know, I didn't think I was really going in. They really kind of, you know, put my concerns about choosing art history as a major to rest and really, you know, allowed me to pursue it academically. I still had no idea what I would do with an art history got out of college and figured I might try and see what working in a museum was like. So applied to museum internships when I was still an undergrad, DMA for a summer, and the education department. And that was, it made me realize I didn't really want to work in museum education, but I liked being around objects and I liked the way that museums made works of art accessible, much broader audience and, you know, open and to it. It wasn't the art market. It wasn't the financial side that I wasn't interested in. It was more the substantial side of why do people make art a ascribe meaning to them, and why do we take care of them for centuries, or why do they matter? And being able to talk to people and give them a sense of why we exist and these things was something that was attractive. So what happened? I graduated and I applied for museum internships. Was fortunate enough to be accepted one in Washington, D.C. at what was then called the National Museum of American Art, called the Smithsonian. And it was really a program that was designed for graduate students in the art history programs at American University and North Washington in D.C. And they got school credit. I wasn't enrolled in the graduate program at the time, was just still trying to figure out if I wanted to art history or not as a profession. And so I just worked for free. That was typically the way that you got experience in the museum world at the time, worked as a volunteer and unpaid internships. That's an impediment to might be interested in pursuing. But fortunately, I had several odd jobs on the side, scooping ice cream. And it was pretty cheap to live in Washington, D.C. at the time as a recent graduate. Young people in the community, it's doable. But that was a great experience. And I got to work in the curatorial department, which I had a lot more education. And I also got to work in exhibition design, see how exhibition designers think through exhibitions, display, and what display is. And based on that experience, I decided to apply to graduate schools. I was fortunate to the University of Texas at Austin, so Texas. To go to graduate school. Well, actually, I deferred and I went to Spain for, I had studied there. It doesn't always take you on. I was in graduate school in Austin for a couple of years and through the Dallas Museum of Art for 6 months. And that was about 25 years ago. I got stuck here. Dallas, 6 months turned into 3.5 years. The DMA, or Curator of Vienna Art, put together major international loan exhibitions for the museum in places like Guggenheim and Bilbao, Spain, which the last thing I did for the DMA is I had helped the curator, Dorothy Kaczynski, organize a Henry Moore retrospective. And that traveled to the Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco, and I helped install with their chief curator named Steve Nash, who's not the basketball museum director. And he had just been named the director of the Nasher Sculpture Center, which was just starting. And I left the DMA after that to finish my master's thesis, which had still been, I had hit a ceiling and passed finishing that. And it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of out there. So I left, finish my master's thesis, and then I figured I would be off somewhere else, leave Dallas, find opportunity elsewhere, wondering if it was going to be Zims or at all. I got a call from Steve Nash asking me if I'd be interested in applying for the curatorial position at the Nasher Sculpture Center. Yeah, pretty interesting. He said, well, finish the thesis and then give me a call. So I did. And I got an interview with Steve and Ray Nasher, who was the founder. It was the worst interview I think given in my life. It was at Mr. Nasher's home, and it was over lunch, sitting at the dining room table. And around the dining room table, incredible works of art by Picasso. And in the middle of the dining room, as the centerpiece, was Brancusi's The Kiss, which is one of the most iconic 20th century ever made. The whole time, all I could think of was, I can't get salad dressing in Brancusi. And so I was a little distracted, and I'd be surprised if I was able to rub two words together in that statement. But I imagine that Steve went to bat for me with reassured him of the job and do it fairly well. Probably also told him that I was young and be willing to work, late hours for and so started off at the Nasher as the assistant curator when we were still in the midst of construction. It was just an unbelievable experience. I mean, it's the kind of opportunity you just don't pass up. Not many curators get to be a part of building a new building for a museum, much less building a new museum. and not just kind of the bricks and mortar, but also conceptualizing, I guess, what information do we want to pass on? What kind of experience do we want visitors to have with the works of art? What is it that we want to know? And so that was a just an extraordinary, particularly being able to do it in a place that was being designed by an architect like Renzo Piano, a garden being an architect with a collection of this. It's just, it was a dream. And I've gotten to grow with the institution, which has also been incredibly lucky position. I'm unbelievably happy. That's kind of the...
So before we sort of dive into like what exactly made art and museums like fascinating for you, I thought I'd just ask what different, you talked about like the size of the college mattered to you when you were picking your college. What other factors did you take into consideration?
The distance from Texas was very important to me. I wanted to go as far away as possible. Mostly just to experience country, different part of the world, you know. I also imagined that I would be, by going to a small Northeastern arts colleges, which isn't necessarily, because you're still going there, who are all learning, I think one of the things that I'm sure my parents' college experience, and my sister's too, you know, really influenced where my parents had gone to small schools in the East. My parents connected. My mom went to Connecticut and my sister went to Williams. And so, that was it was the image of college life that I had in my fit. Yeah. Languages were also of interest to me.
Can we now talk about like what a typical day or week looks like for you and what exactly about like being a curator or like the art and museum field fascinates you so?
Yeah. The thing that I think drew me to it was having some kind of tangible connection to history. I think one of the reasons why RP is a student was that, it incorporates a variety of fields. I was interested in a lot of different things, sociology, philosophy, psychology, history of science, all of these various things, and art history seemed to wrap all of that up in one discipline and connect it to these tangible objects that communities for some think are worth saving, tell us something about history. So I think it was that connection that made the subject of interest to me. As a profession, it's different than being an art historian in an academic text, in a university text, which could be a lot of fun too, and doing teaching, because in museums, you have a direct connection with the objects, understanding not only what it might mean, but actually like having them in front of you, being able to judge how big or how small it is, which oftentimes you can't do in an image. What kind of physical presence it has, those kinds of things actually make a really big difference in how one interprets that work of art or in how one, sizes up its importance or what kind of role it plays in society. That kind of direct connect the objects is something that is very different from pursuing our history just academically. The other thing, doing the research is fun. Getting to go archives is a lot of fun, but it's that connection with, I think, distinguished museum work from academic. And the other part of it is trying to explain why interesting are people other than other professors, and trying to give just people coming in off the street going, what is this place? Why is it here? Why are these weird objects here? Why are these things significant? Was more attractive to speaking to a much smaller audience of scholars, potential scholars. And it's a much bigger kind of communal pursuit. You have in a college or university setting, you have your departmental colleague and the staff, but beyond your department and maybe a couple of friends and colleagues in other departments, it's a pretty small group of colleagues. In a museum, even a small museum, you're working with a broader cast of individuals. And in a big museum, that's a really big group. You're always meeting interesting people that are doing different things, and it's cleaning the floor, physically taking care of the art like a conservator does, up to the director. It's everyone has a different, you're drawing from was also, I think, or at least attracting. Did I answer the question or did I go off on a tangent?
There's a second part, which is just like, what does a typical day or week look like for you? Like,
yeah, it's all over the place. And that's probably something else that, I mean, I've always been the person that gets distracted easily by something shiny. So having a variety of things to do and think about is something that, means it keeps the job interesting. In a larger institution would be, let me just say that in a smaller institution, you get to do a lot of fewer hands means you more jobs, which suits me just fine. And so a typical day, ranges pretty broadly. Once you get beyond tells and going to meeting, what you're really doing is, you're involved in essentially every aspect of the way that the institute runs. Research on artists or works of art or historical ideas that you're interested in pursuing, either for the collection or exhibitions. You're also making connections with other curators at other museums, with galleries that may have objects interested in, for either exhibitions or the collection. You're meeting collectors who may have things in their home that to include in an exhibition so that audience could enjoy those works. You're also working with your colleagues in the museum who are helping you bring all of that together. Registrars are responsible for keeping track of everything in the collection and loans from point A to point B, creating transportation, insurance, all of that fun stuff. Conservators are the ones that actually take care of the objects and, God forbid, something with them. They have an incredible background in not only art history, but also, material sciences and in combination with, developing the hand skills of an artist. It's a pretty fascinating profession. Also, meeting artists, going and visiting them in their studios, learning more about their practice and the work they're making. Sometimes speaking to groups here at the Sculpture Center or outside of the Sculpture Center and here, a particular topic that I'm researching. Travel is often part of the work. So whether it's going to do research at other libraries or archives, or visiting artists, or going to see works of art at other museum places, travel was certainly an attractive part of the profession. Down to things like deciding how to lay out an exhibition. What's the story that you're trying to tell? What's the best way to arrange objects in the gallery to tell that story? And also to, to promote the best experience possible for the visitor of art. So, yeah, I mean, it's, just the kind of physical needs of that art. With sculpture, you're dealing with not only placement, but also sometimes structural engineering. Big and heavy is that thing. What kind of foundation does it need? You work with professionals in order to do the structural engineering, but you have to have a sense of, what it takes to move a 5,000-pound sculpture through a building. It's always from very detailed brass tacks to ethereal, conceptual. So it's a grand variety of things day to day.
So based on this discussion so far, I think it's pretty clear like what exactly you find to be like the most fun part of your job. But on the mm-hmm. other hand, like what are some facets that you like the least about your work?
Mm. Well, let's think. I'll tell you, writing has always been difficult for me. It is a chore. And when I started out, my parents thought I was crazy for picking a job that would require me to write essays because they knew it was difficult for me. The thing is that the more you do something, the easier it gets. Having done it now, it's become easier, although I wouldn't say it is the thing that I enjoy doing most. Although it's less of a chore now than it certainly was.
I think earlier you were talking about like how art is not just the actual work of art itself, but like placement and other aspects of like how you arrange that work of art. Yeah. So a huge part of art is like the storytelling aspect, or like how you communicate that art. Mm-hmm. So communication is probably like one skill that's very useful in like being a curator. Are there, what other types of skills, like maybe technical or just general skills, do you find like useful on a daily basis?
Patience. That's usually very helpful. You know, as an art historian, you're trained to analyze visual data, visual facts. What's happening here? What are you seeing in a painting sculpture? How are you meant to understand that at the time? And then, you know, how do you communicate that to contemporaries? It's also important to be cognizant of the ways of the fact that you're creating a new context for the work of art, and that context is going to imply meaning. You know, a lot of, you know, for a while curators felt that a white box was the most objective environment in which to place something. A white box is also an environment, and it's not necessarily objective. And so just to, you know, having an understanding, not only the objects that you're showing, but the context in which you're showing, what that is, you know, what that is imparting. It's good to have a sense of the possibilities and limitations of what it is here.
You're also talking about how like a part of your job involves like discussing or communicating with other curators at other museums to get in contact with them about perhaps having one of their works of art at your museum. So how important is, like, aside from just for work networking, like moving up in the ladder, how important is networking for that part?
I mean, I think it's a good thing to, you know, just from, say, a career perspective, to, you know, be engaged in the industry, you know, to be a part of the conversation among curators, to gain their perspectives on things. And I do think it's helpful. You know, meeting people is, and connecting is, often opens up opportunities. And so, you know, for anyone who is thinking about pursuing this as a career, you know, the most important thing you can do is see as much as possible. If you're interested in it, go see it. If you're not interested, think about going to see it anyway. It might be eye-opening. It's always the things that I don't necessarily like, have trouble understanding, that end up being things that expands the way you see. And the other thing is just talk to people. Think you don't have a connection in an industry that you don't have any experience in. That may be true, but it's always okay to reach out to a curator and say, hey, I'm kind of interested in what this profession is. And would you be willing to talk to me about this? Tell me a little about how you got there. Kind of like, you know, and even if you don't have to have an internship place, and you may be received more warmly by some than by others, but it's worth at least asking a question. And that way you meet more people. It's always helpful.
Okay. So this next question was about sort of like following your passion. It seems like art has just been a passion for you from the start. But do you agree with the follow your passion statement? Are there any times when there are some regrets that you think about, or you've had like doubts about whether this would work out?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, pursuing curatorial is a very deliberate path. It doesn't often, particularly in museums. Museums tend to be slow. And so, you know, when I was finishing up work at Dallas Museum of Art, and, you know, finishing my master's thesis, I was thinking, I have to do this to get my degree, because otherwise, you know, the past years has been waste. But I don't know that I'm going to be able to do anything. I had not really had a job that I had been able to envision that I could make a living out of doing. And so, at that point it was like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work out. And I got very, very lucky with something along just the right. And otherwise, I don't think we'd be having this conversation. We might be talking about me doing something completely different, or you wouldn't even know about me. St. Mark's wouldn't be telling you, oh, go talk to this guy. I mean, it's always, I would say, Yes, I've always really enjoyed the arts and I've participated in the arts. I'm not an artist by any means. I don't have the skill or the patience to learn how to make. but I do enjoy the arts and what it meant. And so, it definitely helps to be passionate about something, particularly if career path is very deliberate. Curatorial work can be. It'll allow you to stick out something maybe longer than you would otherwise and get you through, those times when, you're not sure if it's the right, but it's not like, you're never going to make a ton of curator if you want to do that. Like most of the art history majors that I knew to become investment bank career than being a curator, I was not desire or app. It was important that I enjoy.
What are the different types of professions in this area at a museum? Like what are the different options available? Like one you were mentioning was like material science plus like art history, and then they can like repair works of art that have been damaged or like how to maintain those intact. So what are some other like interesting professions in that field, and what are some different paths that you can take to reach like where you are right now? Or those other
things? Sure. Yeah. So that profession is called conservation. The person is a conservator. And, also in museums there, I think I was talking about the registrar who keeps track of all the work and deals with, creating and transport and insurance and store them, but also just keeping track of the physical well-being of the work of art. It's in good condition, looking after it correctly in the right. And then there are also kind of all the, there's museum education, which is a lot of fun. And it wasn't what I was interested in doing, but there museum educators are incredibly important, for helping people connect with works of art in various ways and at every conceivable level, from, school kids to adults. And then you've got kind of the business side of things at museums as well. We have marketing and PR departments, we have fundraising. So development advancement is incredibly important for nonprofits. We're not selling something to make money off here as a public service. And so connecting with people who are interested in supporting that public is a really important aspect of running a museum or any other nonprofit. And we also have graphic design, basically an agency that does all. And then there are the art hands, people who actually get to touch, move all these works of art. And usually they're artists, experienced dealing with their own stuff and understand how to, what materials do and how to install it in whatever space it's been. So lots of different opportunities. But, outside of museums, also art history, is something that, besides being a basis for investment banking, there are also aspects of the commercial or for-profit are available. So auction house work, working in an auction house, working in galleries. One is doing the art history behind the objects in order to sell them at auction and connecting buyers with sellers, which is what auction house. And getting to see all kinds of things that are in private collections that people may not have known about. And then in galleries, it depends on what kind of gallery. If it's a contemporary art gallery, a lot of times that's working directly with artists, which in putting on exhibitions of their work and doing publications. And it's actually not that dissimilar from museum work in contemporary art. It's just a different audience and a different problem. Since I've never pursued it myself, I'm not sure what pay scale they are, but since it's a for-profit business, it may be more nonprofit means. So you're limited. And if making money were the most important, become an investment.
Next question is sort of about like tying in with the question I was going to ask earlier about like planning for the future, especially with like COVID and how much like society has changed probably in the last two decades. Mm-hmm. What are some ways that like the museum profession or the museum field you see, like, what are some different changes you foresee in the future for the museum, like, field in terms of either, like, technology, social media, or whatever aspect? and how will like you plan to tackle those issues that if they arise?
Sure. I mean, I think one of the interesting things, you know, particularly in the contemporary art world, is artists are always, you know, creating based on the world that they, and as long as the world needs to change and evolve, they'll continue to change and evolve and incorporate technologies. And so, you know, artists are working a lot of technology, virtual reality and alternate reality. And you know, those are things that we'll see a lot more of in museums. The other thing, of course, is that, you know, the pandemic was really hard on artists, and a lot of museums, you know, had a difficult time, you know, surviving. Performing arts organizations had a much harder time. Visual arts organizations, because they were performing organizations rely so much ticket sales, putting on a play, people come to see the play, buying tickets, that helps with the costs of putting on the play. For museums, you know, there's less revenue that's responsible because of, you know, endowments and things like that. But and then, you know, the PPP loans that we didn't have to lay anyone off in the middle of the pandemic. Incredibly. But I think, you know, one of the things that coming out of the pandemic that we really had to rethink what we do, because we weren't open, but we still had to pursue our mission and serve our audiences. And so it really forced us to become more digitally adept. We were already doing it, but, you know, shift online very, very strong. And to a certain extent, that was temporary, because now we want to be. You know, it's still going to be a hybrid. Offering programs both online. And so we're going to be living a hybrid programmatically in museums forever. And they won't be separate, it'll be the same kind of virtual. And the other thing, of course, is, you know, the realization that we all have to making museums accessible as wide of an audience as possible, you know, because, you know, you have to be able to make what you do and make the art that you're showing matter. How does it matter to someone who may not be part of that? Why does it matter? And I think part of it is expanding our offerings. But the other part is making sure that what we're saying about the works of art that are in the collection, that we're exhibiting, that those connect a variety of things and connect from any background. That's going to become, as the world becomes more interconnected.
This last question I have is whether you have any final comments before we wrap up, or any general advice to people in high school considering what they want to pursue in their futures.
I would say if you have an interest in something, find someone who does that. Talk to them about it. It can't hurt. The worst they can say is, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I don't have time," you know, or "No, I don't want to do that." That's not such a big deal. Or they could say, "Yeah, sure, I'd be happy to talk." And you've got some insight, this profession that you're pursuing. You know, and I, you know, a lot of times we go to the people that we know, but you may not know someone who's in that kind of profession. I'm always available to someone who is interested in doing this kind of crazy, mysterious job that understands, which is great. I'm happy to talk and demystify as much as I could. Yeah, I would say.
Right.
Mr. Morse, thanks for giving us a wonderful tour of the curator profession and spending your valuable time with us. I really enjoyed getting to learn more about your profession.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to meet you, Sonic.
Nice to meet you. Bye.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your time with this podcast. I hope you found this useful. To get notified about future episodes, please subscribe or follow Pathfinder 101 on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Also, please visit pathfinder101.com for more content. If the blog or podcast added some value to you, please like and share with your friends and colleagues. Thanks again for your time, and have a great rest of your day.